Good morning. It's good to be here. It's a privilege to be with saints, with those of a like precious faith, to worship God in spirit and truth. This morning, Lord willing, we'll teach a lesson on buying the truth. Proverbs 23 and verse 23. It's a true statement that those that are interested in pleasing God need to have an attitude to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. For this is the first and great commandment, Matthew 22, 37 and 38. But in order to do that, we must have an understanding about truth. Regarding the importance of buying the truth, Pontius Pilate once asked Jesus, "Art thou a king then?" Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I'm a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." Then Pilate saith unto him, "What is truth?" John 18, 37 and 38. In prayer the Savior asked the Father, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth," John 17 and verse 17. And we find the Lord saying, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me," John 14, 6. The Bible says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God," John 1 and verse 1. Later, John wrote that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth, John 1, 14. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ, John 1, 17. Truth is in Jesus, Ephesians 4 and verse 21. Concerning Jesus, James said, "Of His own will begat He us with the word of truth," James 1:18. And so we can see the importance of buying the truth because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, John 14 and verse 6. Surely one would be motivated to buy the truth and to buy it up regardless of price or sacrifice. Because without the purchase of truth, there will be no kingdom of heaven for us. Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought that pearl. Matthew 13, 45 and 46. Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is like. So truth does not come cheap. It is costly. If truth were cheap, we would very likely disregard its importance. So we should be motivated to buy the truth, regardless of the price that is required. Jesus said in that parable of the pearl of great price that the man sold all that he had and bought that pearl. So love the truth and sacrifice whatever is necessary to possess it. It is also important that we understand that self-denial is required to possess truth. In Mark 8, verse 34, we find Jesus saying, "Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Jesus also said, "Whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple," Luke 14 and verse 33. The Bible teaches they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust, Galatians 5:24. So the price paid to possess truth may be even time, money, lands, popularity, ease, honor, or even suffering. Sometimes even the severing of friendly and family ties is necessary to possess truth. Jesus said, "He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." Matthew 10:37. "If any man come to me and hate not," that is to love less, "his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple," Luke 14:26. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deeds. Read 2 John verses 10 and 11. The true concept of truth is only realized if we not only buy the truth, and buy the truth regardless of price or sacrifice, but buy all the truth. The inspired apostle said to the elders at Ephesus, I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house. Acts 20 and verse 20. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Acts 20 and verse 27. In buying all the truth, it certainly is necessary to buy only the truth. Regarding consumer goods, not everything is as good as it is said to be. One must examine things carefully before investing in them. This same careful consideration should be given when buying only the truth. The noble brands must realize this, for the Bible informs us that they receive the word with all readiness of mind and search the scriptures daily whether those things were so, Acts 17:11. Counterfeits sometimes appear as truth, so we must discriminate between truth and error. We must insist that truth is pure and undefiled, that truth is perversion-free. Surely we can learn from what Moses said long ago, ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you, Deuteronomy 4 and verse 2. And we can learn from what John wrote by inspiration, for I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. Revelations 22, 18 and 19. It certainly is not truth if it is established by any other standard than the Word of God. Peter, through the Holy Spirit, said, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. 1 Peter 4:11. As the oracles of God implies the literal or actual words of God. Jesus gave us an example of speaking as the oracles of God in Matthew chapter 4 when he said it is written, and then he quoted Scripture. And the Bible informs us, let God be true, but every man a liar. Romans 3 and verse 4. And we always need to ask, for what saith the Scripture? Romans 4 and verse 3. We must always be absolutely sure that our teaching and practices are in harmony with the divine standard. The Bible says, prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 21. So how do we prove all things? Certainly not by the philosophies and traditions of men, Colossians 2:8. Not by human reasoning, the Apostle Paul reasoned from the Scriptures, Acts 17:2. Not by false teachers, but by the word of truth, which says, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they be of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world, 1 John 4:1. Please don't ever forget that all the truth, and only the truth, is found in the Word of God, not in the books of men. The Bible teaches us that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and that means literally God-breathed, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. The wisdom of Proverbs not only says to buy the truth, but to sell it not. Proverbs 23 and verse 23. The Apostle Paul said in the Roman letter, Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Romans 10:1-3. It is sad indeed that for some, instead of buying the truth, they are quick to sell it by only accepting only part of the truth. And as a result, they obey only part of the truth. Like in Romans chapter 10, they establish their own righteousness. They seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ, Philippians 2:21. They pervert the right ways of the Lord, Acts 13:10. There are some who accept and obey only part of the truth with regard to the blood. They believe in the blood of Christ, but they leave off truth about the church. And they leave off truth about the necessity and significance of baptism. Ephesians 5:23 says that Christ is the Savior of the body. Colossians 1:18 tells us that the body is the church. The Bible informs us that Christ gave Himself for the church, Ephesians 5:25, and that the church of God was purchased with His own blood, Acts 20:28. And as such, we are now justified by His blood. We shall be saved from wrath through Him, Romans 5:9. Referencing our relationship with Christ, His death, burial, resurrection, and thus our contact with His cleansing blood, the Bible teaches that we are buried with Him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised Him from the dead, Colossians 2:12. The parallel passage is recorded for us in Romans 6:3-4, which says, "Know ye not that so many of us, as were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into His death? Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." If we pay close attention to those passages and are not quick to making excuses, we'll see the visual picture that the Holy Spirit is revealing to us through His Word with simple arithmetic. That baptism is equal to newness of life, just like that of Christ being raised from the dead. Paul said, "For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ," Galatians 3:26. That passage says that we must be in Christ to be a child of God by faith, of course. Question is, how does one get in Christ? The very next passage says, "For as many of you as have been baptized into Jesus Christ have put on Christ," Galatians 3:27. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." 2 Corinthians 5:17. "But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ." Ephesians 2:13. The Scriptures are very clear. We are redeemed through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace, Ephesians 1:7. By faith, baptism puts us in contact with that blood through His death, Romans 6:3-5. By faith, baptism puts us in Christ, or allows us to put on Christ, Galatians 3:26-27. By faith, baptism provides remission of sins, Acts 2:38. Just like the blood of Christ provides remission of sins, Matthew 26:28. By faith, baptism washes away sins, Acts 22:16. By faith, baptism saves us, 1 Peter 3:21, Mark 16:16. 16, 16. And God adds those to that blood-bought institution, the church, as a result of being saved, Acts 2:47. As a result of being scripturally baptized, if a child of God, then in Christ, Galatians 3:26. If in Christ and made nigh by the blood of Christ, Ephesians 2:13. If in Christ and baptized, Galatians 3:26 and 27. If baptized, then saved, 1 Peter 3:21. If saved, then in God's church, Acts 2:47. The Bible says that those will be in white robes are they which have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Revelation 7:13 and 14. Washing in the New Testament always refers to baptism, because we are sinfully dirty. This is why the apostle was told to arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, Acts 22:16. 1 John 1:7 reads, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. That can only happen if we buy all the truth, only the truth, and if we buy the truth and sell it not. Some sell the truth by accepting and obeying only part of the truth concerning worship because they leave off teaching about the Lord's Supper. The Bible says that early Christians met upon the first day of the week, 1 Corinthians 16:2, and that it was upon the first day of the week when the disciples came together to break bread, Acts 20:7. After giving thanks for the bread and the cup, Jesus said this, do in remembrance of me, 1 Corinthians 11:23-25. And he went on to explain, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he comes, 1 Corinthians 11:26. Early Christians did so in a worthy manner, discerning the Lord's body, 1 Corinthians 11:29, so as not to be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord, 1 Corinthians 11:27, judging themselves rightly so as not to be judged with this world, 1 Corinthians 11:31 and 32. It takes some time to discern between, to think about and consider and reflect regarding the Lord's suffering and his shedding of blood that we might have remission of sins. And so we need to make sure that we don't just go through the motions, that we don't rush through our Lord's memorial service, lest we be guilty of the Lord's body and blood. Clearly, the Lord's Supper is commanded, and the first day of the week is our only example for doing such. Acts 27. Just like in that Jewish system, the old law, the Israelites understood that they were to keep the Sabbath day holy each and every Sabbath day, 52 weeks out of the year, not just once or twice out of the year. Read Exodus 28:10. In like fashion, Christians today are to remember the Lord's death through the Lord's Supper each and every first day of the week, 52 weeks out of the year, not just once or twice out of the year. Still, some accept and obey only the truth concerning the one Lord. They believe in the one Lord, but they don't buy unity into the one faith. Ephesians 4:5 reads, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. The Bible says we are called in one body, Colossians 3:15. That we are reconciled unto God in one body by the cross, Ephesians 2:16. Certainly we are to stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, Philippians 1:27. And don't forget what Jude says. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Jude verse 3. Delivered one time for all time is the idea. If there is one Lord, a common salvation, one faith that was once delivered, then that implies that there cannot possibly be many churches of many different faiths, or at least acceptably unto God. And certainly that one faith cannot be revealed again in some so-called modern day revelation, such as the Book of Mormon, or even the Quran, or any other man-made religious creed. And with regard to this, the Bible says, but though we, and that we there is the apostles of the first century, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. Galatians 1, 8 and 9. We need to be careful we are following the one Lord in the one faith, lest we find ourselves selling the truth. We need to be cautious about what is accepted and obeyed so as not to establish our own righteousness, Romans 10, 1 through 3. God warns His people over and over again to be an extremely cautious people with such passages as Matthew 7, 13 and 14. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth unto destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. And the wisdom of Proverbs says, there is a way, that is, a singular way, that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways, that is, plural ways, of death. Proverbs 14, 12. There are many ways of death, but it only takes one of those ways to get us where we don't want to go. The Bible reveals that some receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who received not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 10 through 12. Some wrest or twist the Scriptures unto their own destruction, 2 Peter 3 and verse 16. Peter asked, if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and sinner appear? 1 Peter 4:18. Where shall the ungodly and sinner appear? Read 2 Thessalonians 1, 7 through 9. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels, in flaming fire taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction, that is, destruction without end, from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. I don't know about you, but those passages and the such like tell me that we ought to be an extremely cautious people. Cautious about any doctrine or teaching accepted. Cautious about any doctrine obeyed. And certainly cautious about any doctrine that is taught. One preacher very wisely stated something similar to this. Good stewardship demands that we choose the right ways of the Lord, Acts 13, 10. That we choose the Bible way that is right and can't be wrong. That is to say, to choose that safe way. To choose that way that is unquestionably and absolutely correct, scripturally speaking. We don't want to choose that way that might be right or that way that might be wrong. But rather, we want to choose that way that is right and cannot be wrong. Why, do we ask? the risks are too high to choose otherwise, because 2 John 9 says, whosoever transgresses and abideth not in the teachings of Christ hath not God. And that's a pretty scary thought. In closing, it's imperative that we all know the grace of God in truth, as did the church at Colossae, Colossians 1 and verse 6. It is terribly important to buy the truth, buy all the truth, buy only the truth, buy the truth and sell it not. Don't ever forget Proverbs 23 and verse 23. If you desire to apply yourself to the truth, which is the only means of spiritual freedom, John 8, 31 and 32. If you desire to accept and obey all the truth and nothing but the truth. If you have a spiritual need, whether that's repentance or primary obedience to the gospel, please come as together we stand and sing.